Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Trigger warning. This podcast contains descriptions of various abusive situations. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to the Preacher Boys podcast, a podcast shedding light on decades of mental, physical, and sexual abuse within the independent fundamental Baptist movement. The testimonies shared on this podcast are told from the personal experience and perspective of the survivors. Not all legal outcomes are known or final. Any suspect is presumed innocent until proven guilty in the court of law. Now, here is your host, Eric Skwarzynski.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to this midweek episode of the Preacher Boys podcast. Today, I'm talking a little bit about Andrew Tate. Now, as many of you have noticed, over the past couple of weeks, I've done some episodes that venture outside the world of the independent fundamental Baptist movement. Now, I'm not moving away from fundamentalism in its entirety, and I'm certainly not moving away from a desire to expose abuse within independent fundamental Baptist churches. However, I'm realizing the more that I do this show, how many parallels there are to abuses that happen within independent fundamental Baptist churches and abuses that happen in fundamentalist groups, whether that be political or religious groups all over the country. And this story about Andrew Tate and the value systems that keep someone like Tate in positions of authority within massive swaths of the subculture in our country is meaningful and I think important to discuss. Now, for those of you that haven't heard, on March 12, 2024, multiple news outlets reported that Andrew Tate and his brother Tristan Tate had been detained in Romania on a British arrest warrant for 24 hours. The Bucharest Court of Appeal was working to decide whether to execute the warrants, and they have deemed that it is possible for Tate and his brother to be extradited. There are allegations of sexual aggression dating back to 2012 and 2015. This comes just 1 year after they were charged by the Romanian government with human trafficking, rape, and forming a criminal gang to exploit women sexually. Now, of course, despite these arrests, Tate's followers remain as loyal as ever, claiming that these arrests are just attempts by the mysterious Matrix to silence them. And as with any cultish following, perceived persecution tends to encourage rather than weaken. Now, if you listen to people, the right-wing grifter crowd like Patrick Bet-David and his company doing the Valuetainment podcast, you can hear this play out in real time.
Tate is charged in a separate case in Romania with rape, human trafficking, and forming a criminal gang to sexually exploit women. Adam.
I mean, it's so obvious what they're doing. It's insane. Before you even read that, I'm like, let me guess. Sex crimes.
And Adam, read that.
Let me guess.
Adam, what's sexual aggression mean? Hey, girl, give me your number. What is that?
They've revealed their hand. It's clear. How many times have I asked you, what's going on with Tate? It's almost like the calm before the storm. We haven't heard anything about what's going on in their case in months. They were released from house arrest. They're doing podcasts more than ever on Rumble now. They just did an Oscars podcast on Sunday night.
I sent Rob a clip of the moment where they were going after John Cena. They're going after the gay agenda. They said crazy stuff that, I mean, but bro, at that point though, you know that they're looking for you. I would tone it down. You know, everybody tells Trump to tone it down.
They are mocking and joking about how stupid it is that it's sexual violence charges. They knew it was going to be sexual violence charges, which of course you did. We all did, because that's the type of brand that Andrew Tate has built. But then at the end, you have Patrick Bet-David's yes man and wannabe comedian Vincent O'Shanna saying things like,
what's sexual aggression mean? Hey, girl, give me your number.
Well, I'll just let you listen to Andrew Tate in his own words in a voice message he sent to a girl that he raped.
The more you didn't like it, the more I enjoyed it. Loved how much you hated it. I am one of the most dangerous men on this planet. Sometimes you forget exactly how lucky you were to get by me. Would you rather me pin you down and make you do things you didn't like, or would you rather f- you didn't like that I was thinking I can do whatever I want to? That's what it is. I'm the smartest person on this planet.
Are you seriously so offended I strangled you a little bit? You didn't f***ing pass out. Chill the f*** out. Jesus Christ, I thought you were cool. What's wrong with you?
Now, even beyond the sexual violence, as if that's not enough, Andrew Tate is also a self-proclaimed pimp who ran a cam girl business with 70 plus women working for him. And in this next clip, I want you to hear from Andrew Tate's own mouth again about the control element he uses to commit fraud when it comes to dealing with the women that work for him.
Tax is also another important element for controlling your woman. You're not going to pay anybody tax because you're getting paid in Bitcoin. So you don't need to pay tax to anybody. Tell your girl that you're paying the tax. Because girls are lazy and girls are stupid. And girls don't understand how taxes work. So the girl's working with you, and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, we've made this much money, but I'm going to pay the tax to make sure we don't get in trouble. She'll sit there and go, okay, okay. Now that allows you to do two things. One is another control element. I work with him, my tax is not a problem. If I do it alone, I have to deal with taxes. Taxes are complicated. So control element. So I used to pay my girls 30%. So for every $10,000 they made, I'd give them 3, and I'd keep 7. They thought they were on 50%, and I said that the disparity is because of taxes. So you're on 50%, but we had to pay the tax first, and then it's 50-50. If they say, why is it 50-50? Because I'm the one on camera, you say, because I'm the one typing, I'm the one with the property you're working in, I'm the one paying the bills, the electricity, I'm the one who's, and the electricity and every other maintenance cost of this property, I'm the one who bought the equipment, I'm the one who knows what he's doing, I'm the one with the knowledge, I'm the da-da-da-da-da-da. Shut the fuck up. Go online. And they should be pretty happy with that if they respect you as a person overall. So really, you're paying 30, you tell them you're paying 50, the difference is in the tax. That's where the disparity lies, taxes. If they don't believe you or they want to get fresh or whatever, print out some tax forms. I do this all the time. I used to print out some random tax forms and say, yeah, sign here, sign this. What is it? It's for the tax. You want to pay the tax or not? Okay. And they just sign away. I don't know what the fucking signing. I'll throw them away afterwards. But they think something's happening. Something real is happening. Nothing's happening besides me getting rich, baby.
So how has the former fighter turned polarizing social media influencer kept such a stranglehold on his audience? How did he get an audience in the first place when he has constantly made disgusting statements about women, like you just heard, flaunts a lifestyle of excess, and carries around an impressively large ego? My theory is that as much as Andrew Tate claims to be countercultural and outside society's expectations, his lifestyle is an unfortunate representation of what society at large has been taught to value. That's sex, money, and power. Now, this topic and Andrew Tate have come up a few times recently on the podcast. The first time the subject of Tate came up that I recall was during my interview with Dr. Nadine Macaluso. In addition to being a psychotherapist with a PhD in counseling and somatic psychology, Dr. Macaluso is also the ex-wife of the Wolf of Wall Street himself, Jordan Belfort. So not only has she studied pathological figures, but she quite literally has experienced them firsthand.
My question always goes back to, like, where do they learn these formulas? Is it literally just something that is just mimicked from seeing other behavior? Is it something that just your mind functions the same way? Like, why does it feel like there's a playbook passed out across religious backgrounds and business backgrounds and states and countries? Like, why does it feel like there's such a playbook to have this down to a science with how these guys operate?
Right. So let's think about it. So if we look at their behavior, we have to go behind the behavior and look at their motivation. All of their motivation is the same. They will use, exploit, lie, and betray anybody to get their needs met for power, pleasure, money, and status. They feel entitled to it. They feel superior, and they have no moral compass. So that's what's happening behind the scenes that's pretty standard across all of these personalities or all these people. So because that's their modus operandi, right? These are really good ways to make that happen. And they've tried them enough to know, or they've seen them enough to know, and we're in a society that rewards those things over compassion, connection, emotions, humility.
Yeah, all those virtues. And it is. You can extrapolate it back to the American dream and the things that we view as success.
Yes.
And, you know, I've seen this phenomenon over the past year or so with, I mean, even before that, I mean, I look at Jordan now, who still proudly is the Wolf of Wall Street. I look at people like Andrew Tate over the last several, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the last 2 years, but especially the last year, this kind of, I mean, meteoric rise to prominence, teaching what is essentially a playbook on how to, I mean, at the expense of everybody else, achieve these grandiose visions for yourself.
Greed has been around since the beginning of time. I don't see it going away. You know, I grew up in the era where, you know, Michael Douglas on Wall Street actually told us greed is good, right? So that 80s and 90s time was really a time where that was pumped down our throats. And so I think having these conversations where there are other things that are good, that are intangibles too, you know? And so I don't know that we can change that, but I think we can shift the conversation and we can also shift what we value.
I think that's great. The shifting of values is huge because it is something when it goes to like what you want most and that's what you're pursuing. It's like rethinking what you want most, you know?
Right. Yeah.
You want to have a sweet house and a wife that hates you because you're a total jerk, you know?
Right.
Or do you want kids that don't want to talk to you, but you've got a Fortune 500 company, you know?
That's like, right.
Alignments of values.
Yes. And remember, if you don't have a moral compass, it's very hard to have healthy values.
Yeah, that probably hurts.
If you think about Harvey Weinstein, Jeffrey Epstein, the Boy Scout leaders. I mean, we're seeing this in very extreme ways.
One of the key points she highlighted in our discussion is that innate drive for power, pleasure, money, and status that fuels individuals like Andrew Tate. They feel entitled to success and are willing to exploit, manipulate, and betray others to achieve their goals. Even more disturbingly, Dr. Macaluso said that society doesn't just allow these men to rise to power, they contribute to the rise of such figures. In a culture that rewards traits like assertiveness and hunger for power, individuals like Andrew Tate, who exhibit these traits, find fertile ground to cultivate any ambition they may have. They pursue wealth, excess, and power at any cost, and the culture, or at least a massive subculture within the United States, worships them for it. Dr. Macaluso is not alone in her analysis. Andrew Tate came up again in a recent interview I conducted with Dr. Stephen Hassan, which will be released in its entirety on March 31st, 2024 on the Preacher Boys podcast. And, of course, it'll be released 2 weeks early to Patreon supporters. Dr. Hassan is a leading cult expert who has spent decades unraveling the complexities of influence, manipulation, and social dynamics. Much like Dr. Macaluso, Dr. Hassan expressed that figures like Tate thrive in capitalistic environments where quests for excess wealth, power, and self-aggrandizement are rewarded. And I believe he's right.
Why is it that a capitalist society is rewarding people who have these malignant narcissistic tendencies? Well, they're typically very charismatic in the sense of they can be charming, they can be very seducing, they can make you feel like you're the center of the universe, but it's a technique. It's not genuine feeling. And they're often just working really hard to prove how great they are to everyone else. So they may be workaholics and achieve some great things. But when it comes to like having a community and treating people respectfully with equal rights, people are objects to them to serve their purpose. And it's typically with cult leaders, power, money, and exploitative sex. Yeah. And so why do we have so many leaders who aren't, Zen monks and priests who actually are humble and put God ahead of humans? Well, It's the nature of the way our societies have been constructed so far.
Well, you mentioned capitalism, and this is not to say that capitalism is the only driver, because like you said, there's plenty of non-wealthy, you know, cult leaders who get sex or they have access to other forms of power. But this is actually something I was talking about recently with somebody, is that the reason I think we're seeing the Donald Trumps, the Andrew Tate, which I'm not sure if you've gone down that wormhole too much. But
actually, yeah, I do a lot of work with trafficking, sex and labor trafficking. So
he'll come up quickly in that conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
But Donald Trump, Andrew Tate, the guys that really have a stronghold on culture represent, I think, on paper, the ideals that are promised to people who pursue the American dream. So you have a Donald Trump who exudes this idea of extravagant wealth. There's some debate about how much wealth there actually is. You have the Andrew Tates who have the Bugattis and the women that he sleeps with. And this picture that I think for the sixth grade middle schooler who's watching reels on, you know, YouTube or watching TikTok videos, they see a achievable thing that they're being told to pursue in the education system, in the culture. And so those people are kind of a beacon of, you know, we could accomplish this. And I think that's really the entire middle class looking to Trump as the idealization of, this is what we could work to. If we just keep working, we can hit this. And that's a really hard thing to combat. Tate presents himself as living the epitome of the American dream through social media platforms like YouTube and TikTok. This image resonates deeply with impressionable audiences, including young males. Yet, as Dr. Hassan pointed out, this narrative of perceived success needs to be improved. Behind the facade of luxury cars and lavish parties lies a significant problem: pursuing material wealth at the expense of genuine human connection and empathy. Based on both my personal observations over the last few years and my conversations with experts like Dr. Stephen Hassan and Dr. Nadine Macaluso, I'm personally convinced that winning the proverbial culture war against toxic influencers like Andrew Tate won't just be done through debate, confronting the myriad of flaws in his belief system, or exposing the immorality of his actions, though all of those things are equally necessary. Instead, it will require a fundamental shift in the value system we instill in future generations, encouraging the pursuit of big goals, yes, but also while reinforcing the importance of admirable traits like empathy, respect, and virtue. We need to ensure the version of success that we glorify doesn't mean power at the expense of all those who stand in our way. That cost is far too great. And that's true for mega social media influencers like Andrew Tate, or for the pastor of a small town local church. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Preacher Boys podcast. I'll catch you on the next one.
Thank you for listening to the Preacher Boys podcast. If you appreciated the content on the show, please leave a review on iTunes and don't forget to connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter with the handle @PreacherBoysDoc.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.